Okay, good evening. We're welcome to the Shia and the Sfarno Parshas Noach. We started last night talking about the story of the Migdal Bavel, the Dor HaFloga, the tower, and the dispersion from the point of view of the Sfarno. So I wanted to just briefly review what we spoke about in the last few minutes of the Shia last night, and then to add to that. The Sfarno tells us how there were two groups of people who were referenced in the Torah in the beginning of Perek Yud Aleph, the beginning of the story about the Migdal Bavel. The vast majority of the people built what they built with very innocent intentions. Pasuk says, Hava nilbanol levenev and israfol isrefa. Let's go, Pasuk Gimel in Perek Yud Aleph, let's go make bricks and we'll build. And the Sfarno says, this conversation, Vayomru Ishel Reyehu, one man said to his fellow, was a discussion that the common people had. And their intent was very, very innocent. Livnos Batim Begidros Tzon. They just wanted to build a community. They wanted to build houses. They wanted to build pens for the sheep. Things only start getting nefarious when we go into the next Pasuk and Pasuk Dalid. Vayomru Hava Nivla Nanu Ir. They said, says the Sfarno, why repeat the word Vayomru? Because it's a different set of speakers. This is no longer the Hamon Am. This is no longer the general populace. This is the nobleman. Zos Haisa Atzas Sarei Hador. What follows in Pasuk Dalid was what the noblemen were discussing among themselves. Lahamlich es Nimrod al kol hamin ha'enoshi. They wanted to make a superpower where everybody would be united under a single ruler. And unfortunately, the ruler they had in mind was the infamous Nimrod, who of course tried to kill Avram Avinu when Avram Avinu was a young boy. So they said, let's go build a city. In other words, this metropolis, which is going to unify everyone. Umigdal v'rosho v'ashamayim. Let us build a tower whose head stretches to the heavens. V'nase lonu shem. A very ambiguous phrase. Let us make for ourselves a name. You read the pasuk, the simple interpretation seems to be, let's gain fame. Let's make a name for ourselves. But the Sfarno interprets the phrase very differently. Nasa shame avodah zarah, shetiyeh b'migdol. Shame over here refers to an avodah zarah. Let us place in this great tower some kind of idol such that the tower, it's not a bell tower, it's not a water tower, it's a temple. It's an Avodah Zarah tower. Rabbi Cooperman in his notes that the Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin, Kuftes Amud Aleph, makes a similar statement, but as opposed to the Sfarno, who reads it into Pshat, the Gemara makes it based on a drasha. Tanya Reb Nosson Omer, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, says, Kulam l'shem avodas kochavim niskavnu. Those building the tower had in mind avodas zara. Ksiv hachav v'nasa lanu shem. It says in our pasuk, let's make for ourselves a shem. Uksiv hasa v'shem Elohim achirim lo saskiru. And the pasuk says in Parshas Mishpatim, do not mention the name of other gods. Malahalon. Avodas kochavim, avkan avodas kochavim. So using the gzera shava, the Gemara understands that what's being referenced over here is avodah zara, just as the term shame captures the idea of avodah zara in Parshas Mishpatim. That's the Gemara. The Sfarno is not quoting the gzera shava. The Sfarno is explaining based on pshat. The Sfarno understands that the term shame, fundamentally, on a simple level, is a reference to Avodah Zarah. V'nase lanu shem. Let us make something that has a certain name, and that thing will be Avodah Zarah. It's interesting. Sfarno doesn't explain why does he assume that the word shame means Avodah Zarah. Shame just means the name. V'nase lanu shem. Let's make for ourselves a name. Why does he assume that means Avodah Zarah? The Gemara learns it out from Gzeira Shava. Okay, fine, so that's a drasha. Why does the Sfarno think that on the level of pshat, shame means something which is an Avodah Zarah? Perhaps one can suggest, the Sfarno himself doesn't explain, but perhaps one can suggest the the very idea of Avodah Zarah from the perspective of its adherents is something which is incredibly powerful. On the level of Pshat, perhaps they were reluctant to even name what it was that they were doing. Lahavdil Elef Alfei Avdalos, the way we don't refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly. We say Hashem, you know, as opposed to mentioning Hashem's name itself. So too, Lahavdil, these Ovdei Avodah Zarah referred to whatever god or deity or idol they wanted to put up in the Migdal as the Shem. They are almost Lahavdil, again, the way we ourselves refer to the Ribono Shel Olam as Hashem. You know, the name, we don't want to mention the name. So, V'nasa lanu shem, let us make for ourselves an Avodah Zarah, using the term shem euphemistically to refer to that thing. In any case, that's what they wanted to do. The whole program of the Migdal Bava was to build an Avodah Zarah. V'yetzei b'cholam inho enoshi shem gova mikoma v'godel ira, and all of humanity will be impressed by this incredible city and tower. And the grandeur of this tower and city will lead people to be impressed with the Avodah Zarah who's at the center of the tower. Because after all, if this tower is built for this Avodah Zarah, and this tower is magnificent, it must mean that the Avodah Zarah itself is magnificent. The God of gods, Eloheiho Elohim, Ve'ileho Yidrushu Kulam, and says the Svarno, that's going to lead everyone to embrace this particular Avodah Zarah. V'akavona bo zeh hoysa shahamolech al oso ir yimloch al kol amin ha'enoshi b'yosham drishas kulam. The idea behind this, why do these people want to, why was it in their best interest to create this universal Avodah Zarah that everyone was going to follow, this universal religion? The idea was, says the Svarno, to build up the character of Nimrod. If this became a place of pilgrimage where everyone would come to worship this Avodah Zarah, it meant that whoever was the ruler over this city would be recognized as the universal ruler. So this was all a ploy to prop up Nimrod as the ruler of the world, but it involved making a significant temple in that particular place. We then read in Pasuk Hey that Vayered Hashem liros es so'ir ve'es hamigdol. Kodesh Baruch Hu descended to see the city and the tower which people had built. And of course, that language, Vayered Hashem, Hashem descended, is a problematic turn of phrase. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have a body, he doesn't ascend, he doesn't descend, he doesn't go here, he doesn't go there, he's Melech HaAretz Kevodo. He fills up the entire world. So what does it mean, Vayered Hashem Liros? So the Svarno puts forward a fundamental idea. It says as follows. Hine loshen hayirido liros. Whenever the Torah speaks about Hashem descending to see, Tzye omer al hakel yisborach kishein ho'inyan ozroi le'onesh, elo mnei hakilkul hanim shocheilov b'soch po'inyan. Hashem descending to see is a euphemism. It's a turn of phrase, says the Svarno. It refers to a situation which right now is not inherently bad, but can very easily and rapidly become something which will be a terrible situation. And here, the Svarno quotes a Lashon of Chazal, which he claims is really based on the Lashon of this Pasuk. Kiven Sorer Umore. It's like the example of Ben Sorer Umore, the rebellious child who's killed, who's executed at a young age, not based on anything that he's done really, but based on the anticipation that he's going to do terrible things down the line. And with regard to this, Ben Sora Omer, Chazal say, Yarda Torah L'Sof Daito. The Torah descends, literally, to see the end of the plans that this Ben Sora Omer has. So there we find Chazal used this lashon, Yarda Torah L'Sof Daito. The Torah descends. Now, in English, we would probably say, the Torah foresees. Right? The Torah foresees what this Ben Sora Mora is going to do. But the expression Chazal have is Yarda Torah. The Torah descends down to the thoughts of what this Ben Sora Mora has planned for the future. Where did Chazal get that lashon, Yarda Torah, that the Torah foresees should be somehow expressed in descending. So the Sfarno claims that that Lashon of Chazal is derived from this Pasuk and Pesukim similar to it. Vayered Hashem Liros. Hashem foresaw what was going to be in the future. What's literally translated as Hashem descended is really, the intent really, says the Sfarno, is that Hashem foresaw, Hashem was looking down the line to see the way things were going to be down the line. So right now, in our context, says the Sfarno, the people who have planned to build the tower have not actually done anything wrong yet. I mean, we should put it a little bit differently. Relatively speaking, they haven't done so much that's wrong. They've planned to set up a temple for Avodah Zarah, but they haven't actually done so. They're talking about it. They have these nefarious plans, but right now, in terms of actions, nothing actually has been carried out. So, Vayered Hashem Liros Esoir V'es HaMigdol. Hashem, however, foresaw what the people were going to do with this potential tower and this potential city, and that was extremely disturbing. Interestingly, the Sfarno then goes on to say that with this yesod, that Vayered Hashem, Hashem descends, always pertains to Hashem foreseeing something in the future, which right now isn't so terrible, but will become terrible, can explain another very interesting example. V'chein hoyo inyan stone. The same idea applies to what we're going to read about in 2 weeks, the destruction of Sodom. Shekosav bo, eredono ve'ere. The Pasuk says later on in Perek Yurches, Hashem says regarding Sodom, let me descend and see what's going on in Sodom. What do you mean Hashem should descend? Again, same question. What does it mean Hashem is going to descend into Sodom? Writes the Sfarno very, very, very provokingly. Ki amnam lo hayo risham oz yoser mishar ha'umos kedei la'onsham ba'olam hazeh. The truth is, you have to ask the question, says the Sfarno. How bad were the people of Sodom? We always hold up the people of Sodom as being the epitome of evil. You know, they were terrible, terrible people, and that's why they were destroyed. Says the Sfarno, not necessarily. The people of Sodom were not really any worse than, you know, the average nations around them. What did they do? True, they were very, very cruel to poor people. If you're cruel to poor people, ultimately that will lead to terrible things taking place. But, you know, in terms of the things that they violated, what did they violate? They violated cruelty to poor people. Where do we see that they violated cruelty to poor people? So the Pasuk says in Yechezkel, Pasuk Perek Tezayin, this was the sin of stone. They didn't support the poor people. Now, that's not a good thing. You're supposed to give tzedakah. You're supposed to support poor people. That's true. But is the sin of not supporting poor people so terrible that an entire group of cities should be wiped off the face of the earth as a result? Why? How do you justify the fact that stone was destroyed? So there's several different answers to that question. We know Chazal in the Midrashim amplify the Pasuk in Yechezkel that says that the sin of Sodom was that they didn't support the poor people. And they describe an unusual degree of cruelty that the people of Sodom inflicted upon the defenseless people among them. You know, to the point where, yeah, these people were really monstrous above and beyond, you know, the average person. But from the simple pshat in the psukim, you don't necessarily get that impression. You know, okay, they didn't support poor people. They weren't generous. But, you know, ad kedei kach, that's so terrible that they should be destroyed as a result. The Ramban asks this kasha. The Ramban says, you're right, the people of Sodom were not so much worse than anybody else in the world, but they lived in Eretz Yisrael. And in Eretz Yisrael, you're held to a higher standard. If Sodom had been in Argentina, so they wouldn't have been destroyed. But Sodom was in Eretz Yisrael. So in Eretz Yisrael, you're held to a higher standard. The Sfarno is taking yet another approach to this whole issue. The Sfarno is saying, we see from the Pasuk, Eredona ve'era, where Hashem says, let me descend and see what's going on in Sodom. That means that what's going on in Sodom right now, perhaps, objectively speaking, is not really deserving of destruction. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu could see that the cruel acts of the people of Sodom, the fact that they didn't support the poor people, would necessarily lead to terrible, terrible atrocities down the line. And because of that, Sodom was destroyed. The Sfarno doesn't spell out what these terrible atrocities would be. We're left guessing. We assume it probably has something to do with Shvichus Damim, with murder, perhaps with Gili Arayos, with illicit relations. You know, they certainly hint to that when the mob surrounds the house of Lot and they demand that the two visitors be brought out. Veneda Osam will be intimate with them. Sfarno doesn't spell it out. But it's very fascinating from his perspective, the same way the Ben Soro Mora is executed al Shem Ha'asid, based on what he's going to do, not based on what he did. According to the Sfarno, the people of Sodom were also executed, they were also killed, based on what they were going to do, more so than what they actually did in the present. And then he adds the following, V'chein hoya onesh Yisrael begolusam. The fact that Klal Yisrael were sent into Golus was also not simply a result of what they had done, but of what they were likely to do in the future. Where do we get that? So he writes, it says in Parshas Ha'azinu, Ere ma'acharisam. I will see, says Hashem, what will be in their end, referring to the Jewish people. Also a fascinating statement. We're familiar with the famous statement of Chazal, the Gemara in Yuma. The first Beis HaMikdash and the Golus was because of the three cardinal sins, Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, Shvichus Damim. So now the Sfarno is coming and saying, you know, objectively, whatever they did maybe wasn't so bad. But the reason they were sent into Golus was because of what they were going to do, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw was going to be many times worse. What's many times worse than Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, and Shvichus Damim? I can only imagine it's a question of degree. In other words, yes, they engaged in Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, and Shvichus Damim, but up to a point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I see that left unattended, they're going to continue and get even worse, even more steeped in these Averos to the point where will be a point of no return. I have to send them into Golus now because of what, Rachmanu Litzlan, could happen at some point in the future. So that's this Yesod of the Sfarno, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu descends, it's always about punishment based on the future, not punishment based on the present. In any case, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes a look at the scenario with the Migdal Bavel. He sees, as the Sfarno explained, that whatever the situation is right now, this is going to end up in a bad place. And he says, the Pasuk says, Hein am echad v'safa achas l'chulam. This is one united people with one united language. V'zeh hachilom la'asos. And this is what they have begun to do. V'ata lo yibotzer mehem kol asher yozmu la'asos. Now, it will not be held back from them everything which they planned on doing. What do those psukim mean? What does that pasuk mean? So the truth is, according to the Sfarno, even before we see what the Sfarno's comment on this pasuk, that sort of enigmatic pasuk becomes easier to understand. The pasuk implies that the people building the Migdal and the city have only just begun engaging in what is considered to be a negative act. This is what they're beginning to do. And now they will not be able to carry out everything that they've planned on doing. So in other words, they've done something, but there's a plan for the future. That fits in perfectly with the Sfarno's understanding that there was this plan to build this universal Avodah Zarah that would attract everyone, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu nipped the plan in the bud before it was able to come to fruition. Let's see his actual words. Ki onam habito, habefer atzas goyim, m'meini machshavos. When machlokes comes and divides people, whether it be because of religion or because of languages, that rips people asunder. Right now, this group of people were all united in an erroneous religious belief. And they also had a common language. So if they have a common religion and a common language, and so there, so if that's the case, nothing will hold them back from fulfilling their plan. Their plan is to create a universal Avodah Zarah. If they all speak the same language, they all have the same religion, that means they're unified, and nothing will hold them back from that plan. And at that point, the Avodah Zarah that they will set up in this temple, Rachmana Litzlan, could become universal. If they are successful in setting up this universal Avodah Zarah, it will make it extremely difficult for anyone to ever recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because there will be one universally recognized Avodah Zarah. V'hefech zeh yikre k'shetia machlokes bein ha'umos b'inyan Elohei ha'nechor. However, says the Svarno, an interesting observation, if the non-Jewish nations have different religions, as much as we disagree with all of their religions, the fact that there are different religions out there actually works in the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How so? Ki kol achas mehena tachshov sheyesh Elohei ho Elohim, shekol ho Elohus maskimim l'dayto. To the extent to which there are many different nations with many different gods, a common factor of those nations and religions is that they believe there's some kind of super god. There's some kind of overarching god who is in charge of all the, call them the tribal gods, who are connected to each of the nations. In other words, in the plan of the Migdal Bovel, they were going to have one Avodah Zarah that would be embraced by the entire world. Okay, they would see that as the supreme deity. But if every country has its own deity, so people start thinking, okay, you know, they have this deity, and we have this deity, and they have that deity. So there must be some kind of super god, some overarching god, who's in charge of all of these different deities. And that leads people, the multiplicity of religions that are out there in the world, leads people to come to the conclusion that there must be some kind of god who oversees it all. So it's ultimately in the interest of people finding their way to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to have many, many different religions out there in the world, because that leads people to think there must be something that's on top controlling all of these local gods, and that will lead them to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's pshat in a pasuk in Malachi, which we read as the Haftarah for Parshas Toldos, Ki mimizrach shemesh ve'ad mevo'o gadol shmi bagoyim. From the rising of the sun to its setting, my name is great among the nations. The fact that there are so many nations spread out with so many different cultures and so many religions from east to west, that itself causes HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name to be recognized and to be thought highly of among the nations of the world. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu thwarts the plans of those who are building the Migdal Bavel, scatters them, and the multiplicity of nationalities which are created as a result actually works well in the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Wish everybody a good Shabbos, and Be'ez Hashem next week we'll pick up with Parshas Lech Lecha. Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha Omer, Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lezakos Es Yisrael.